What we have here then is the Son of God teaching us how to pray. And who would not want to pull up a chair and to sit down and to hear him as he teaches us today?
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And today we are beginning a brand new series. It's called Six Things to Ask of God as we take a look at prayer. And Colin, any person who loves Christ, I think, would want to do exactly what you just said, to sit down and learn from Jesus himself what it means to pray.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we have the opportunity of doing as we begin the study of the Lord's Prayer. It's so wonderfully practical. I mean, aren't you glad, Steve, that the disciples asked Jesus this question, teach us to pray?
Yeah.
And that our Lord gave this marvelous answer that really gives us, I think, a model of how to pray. And that's what I want us to do over these next programs, beginning today, for us to walk through the Lord's Prayer and very practically to say, now, how does this help me to pray? My experience is that most Christians want to be able to pray better. We have a sense that this is something very wonderful, that it's something very, very important, and that we don't do it as well as we would like to. So we want help. I get asked more questions about, you know, how can I pray better than I think about any other subject. And there's a reason for that. We all feel that we need help. And here we have the place in the scripture where our Lord himself says, well, let me teach you how to pray. And so I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity of opening the scriptures together today.
Well, let's do just that. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 5 to 15 today. So grab a Bible and join us there as we begin the message, God's Name. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, in any time of crisis, the first duty and the first instinct of God's people is to pray. But what are we to pray? What exactly are we to ask of God? Prayer, I think, is an area where all of us need to grow. I think it's an area in which all who really love the Lord Jesus Christ want to grow. I've met over the years a few folks who would style themselves as experts in evangelism, experts in youth work or in men's ministry. I have never yet met a Christian who thinks of him or herself as an expert in regards to prayer. All of us feel that we need to stand with the disciples and to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And aren't you so glad that Jesus answered that question of the disciples and that we have the answer of Jesus to that question, teach us to pray, right in front of us here in the scriptures today. What we have here then is the Son of God teaching us how to pray. And who would not want to pull up a chair and to sit down and to hear him as he teaches us today? Now, I've called this series Six Things to Ask of God because there are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Three of them relate to God's glory, and three of them relate to our good. In relation to God's glory, we ask first that God's name will be honored, then that his kingdom will come, and then that his will should be done. And then in relation to ourselves, we ask that God will provide what we need, that God will forgive our many sins, and that God will deliver us from evil. So six things Jesus teaches us we should ask of God. And all that we could ever ask, all that we need ever ask, can be included under one of these six petitions. So the Lord's Prayer is really like a kind of template for praying. It gives us a plan for prayer. It gives us an outline. It gives us a framework. It teaches us how to pray. So if you were to take, for example, a jotter, and you were to divide a page into six very simple sections, you could call them God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, God's provision, God's forgiveness, and God's deliverance. And on that page, in these six sections, you would have a perfect outline for prayer. You could use it in two ways when you have it in your jotter. You could first start with the headings and then just fill in under each of them things that you think you ought to pray in relation to each of these six petitions. Or you could do it another way. You could start with what's on your mind. You have a friend who is in some need. They need help and they need support. So where does that belong? Well, of course, that's part of what God would provide for them. So you write that down there. But then you think to yourself, now, wait a minute. What else do I need to pray in regards to this person? I mean, what would it mean for God's name to be honored in this situation that this person is facing? What would it mean for God's will to be done in their situation? So the requests of the Lord's Prayer, they're really like six pegs on which you can hang all of your other prayers. The Lord's Prayer is given to us in order to shape our prayers. It is Jesus teaching us how we should pray. Now, my aim in this series is that through these six petitions, we will learn better how to pray. That we'll learn how to pray more effectively. And it is for this reason that Jesus has given us the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. Using the Lord's Prayer as a template in this way, it's not something new. You know, Martin Luther used the Lord's Prayer as a template for his own prayers throughout his entire life. And he commended this practice in a delightful little book called A Simple Way to Pray. This book was written by Martin Luther for his barber. And my imagination just runs into overdrive with this. I picture Luther sitting in the chair getting his hair cut. And he leans back in the chair and the barber begins to shave the stubble from his chin. And as he's doing this delicate work, he says to Luther, "Pastor Martin, I have a question. How should I go about praying?" And I think to myself, well, maybe Luther just said at that point, "My friend, please just focus on what you're doing with that razor blade. I'll answer your question, but let me do it later. I'll write you a book entitled A Simple Way to Pray." And that's what Luther did. He wrote this marvelous little book for his barber, telling this man who wanted to know how to pray more effectively, how to do it by using the Lord's Prayer as a template for his own prayers. And Luther says in this book, "I do not want you to recite all these words in your prayer." In other words, he's saying, this prayer is not given simply so that we use it as a repeated recitation. No, Luther says, here's what I want you to do. I want your heart to be stirred and to be moved by the thoughts that are prompted from the Lord's Prayer. In other words, use this as a template. Use each of these six petitions as pegs on which you will hang your prayers, a framework on which you will build the prayers that you offer to God. And this simple way to pray was not simply Luther's idea of, you know, what a barber should do. This is what Luther did himself throughout his entire life. He says this, "To this day, I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child." And as an old man, I eat and drink from it and never get my fill. Well, friends, that describes exactly what I want us to do over these next weeks together. I want us to suckle at the Lord's Prayer, to learn from Jesus Christ himself how we should pray.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Hope you'll stay with us in just a moment. We'll come back and we'll look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our message today is called God's Name, and it's the first in our series, Six Things to Ask of God. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can always come to the website and listen online at unlockingthebible.org. You can also go there and sign up to begin podcasting the program so you don't miss a future broadcast. Again, our website address is unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, today we look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be your name. We're going to look at the relationship in which this prayer is prayed. We're going to look at the prayer itself and its meaning. We're going to look at the ways in which it is answered. We're going to look at the challenge that it brings. And then we're going to look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end, I want us to take time to pray from this prayer together. Hallowed be your name. Now, let's start here because this is where Jesus begins with the relationship. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven. This is very important. The six petitions of the Lord's Prayer are all addressed to our Father in heaven. In other words, this is a prayer for God's children. These are prayers that are to be brought by those who have been reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a very important reminder for us because by nature, we simply cannot pray this prayer. The Bible makes it very clear that by nature, we are alienated from God and we are dead towards Him. By nature, we are much more concerned about our name than we are about God's name. By nature, we tend to think that life revolves around us, and so if we're left to ourselves, if we were to pray at all, we begin with ourselves and we begin with our needs and we never really get any further. But Jesus came into the world to bring us into an entirely new and different relationship with God. God is His Father. And through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to know God as our Father as well. Jesus brings you into a new relationship with God in which you love Him, you trust Him, you worship Him, you serve Him, and you obey Him. In love for this perfect Father, you will discover a new peace, a new strength, a new hope, and a new joy. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. In Christ, we are adopted into the family of God, and that's why God sends His Spirit into our hearts, the Apostle Paul says, to cry out, Abba, Father. So the Lord's Prayer has six petitions and they're all addressed to our Father in heaven. They're all prayed out of this relationship in which through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. Father, hallowed be your name. Father, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Father, forgive our sins. And Father, deliver us from evil. These are the prayers of a Christian disciple. They are not the things that we would ask of God if we were left to ourselves. They are the prayers that Jesus brings us into They are the prayers of God's own children. And so you want to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Here is where we must begin. We must enter by faith in Jesus that relationship in which we come to know God as our own Father. We come to the Father only through Him. And John makes this very clear in his gospel where he says, to those who received Him, that is, received Jesus, to those who believe in His name, God gives the right that they should be His own children. If you want to know God as your own Father, if you want to learn how to pray as Jesus teaches us to pray, you must receive Jesus as the Lord and as the Savior of your life. And you do this by believing in His name. That's where all true prayer begins. Now, what a marvelous thing it is to know the sovereign Lord of the universe as your own Heavenly Father. Dr. Jim Packer has a wonderful little image and phrase on this that has been very helpful to me. I just call it, because it sticks in my mind, Packer's pendulum. And here's what Dr. Packer says. Let your thoughts flow to and fro like an accelerating pendulum, taking ever wider swings. He's my Father. He's God in heaven. He's God in heaven. He's my Father. Packer's pendulum. Try and take this in, that when you come before your Father in prayer through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are speaking to the sovereign Lord of the universe, our Father in heaven. When Jesus brings you to know His Father as your Father, you will have such a great desire to pray. You will love the Father from your heart, and because you love Him, well, your first desire will be that His name should be honored. That's the relationship. Then let's look together at the prayer itself and what this prayer actually means. Pray then like this, Jesus says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, what exactly are we asking God to do when we pray this prayer? What does it mean? Hallowed be your name. Now, I want you to notice that heaven frames the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Did you notice that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, heaven frames the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you see, that invites us immediately to think about the scene as it is described to us in the Bible in heaven itself. What is the scene in heaven? Well, angels cry out in heaven right now, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. In fact, the worship in heaven, the exalting of the Father's name in heaven, it never ends. The scripture says, day and night, they, that is the heavenly creatures, never cease to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Every creature in heaven, without exception, joins in saying, to Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and forever. That's the scene in heaven. unceasing worship. God's name exalted and God's name adored. Now, what about the scene on earth? Well, listen to how that's described by the prophet Isaiah. God says through Isaiah, continually, all the day, my name is despised. That's the reality on earth. And it could not be more different from the reality right now in heaven. In heaven, God's name worshipped, adored without ceasing. On earth, his name despised, blasphemed all day long. And it's into that chasm of the difference between the reality in heaven and the reality on earth that we pray the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. Let your name, O Father, be exalted, worshipped, treasured, and adored on earth as it is in heaven. We are asking when we pray this prayer that God will so move in this world, that God will act in such a way that people around the globe will come to worship him, to treasure him, to adore him, to live for him on earth as it is in heaven. Father, please bring people to love and worship and trust and adore you.
May that be true for each one of us today. You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God's Name. It's the first in our series, Six Things to Ask of God. Now, we're pausing right here, but we're going to continue this message next time. I hope you will make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come to the website and you can listen online at unlockingthebible.org. Well, all this month, we've been talking about a book from Pastor Colin called 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible, and we'd actually like to send you two copies of this book, one for you to read, one to give away, and this is the final day to give a financial gift of any amount and receive these two copies of Pastor Colin's book. Again, it's called 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible, one for you to read and one for you to give.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. You know, one of the things that I pray really often is that those who receive the Word of God through Unlocking the Bible and receive it gladly, that you'll become someone who will bring the Word of God into the life of someone else. And if you think about those you're concerned for right now, you must know someone who's not yet a Christian and you long for them to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what can you do? Well, you could give them a Bible. That would be a wonderful thing to do. But would they read it? Where would they begin? What I'd love to do is to send you a copy of 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible that you could have for yourself and one that you could give to someone who doesn't yet know the Lord. And here's what that little book would do. It would take them through the Bible story. It would show that the whole Bible is one story and that it all points to Jesus Christ. And it would put in place the basic building blocks on which faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is founded. It would be a marvelous thing if this month, all who receive the Word of God gladly through Unlocking the Bible would take a copy of 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible and give it to someone in your life who needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord use this. I think that this could be a marvelous way in which we could reach out with the gospel, and it's something in which every one of us can be involved.
Absolutely. We would love to send you two copies of this book, 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible, as you support this ministry with a gift of any amount this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, the website is unlockingthebible.org and the phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Why might you want to consider using the Lord's Prayer when you pray? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.